truth. A common quotation from the Bible is on the walls of many churches and quoted by many people throughout the world. The quotation is from John 8, verse 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is also one of the introductory quotes to Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. In the quote, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word know is a function of mind. The mind that is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. It is also immortal. The knowing of mind is a part of omniscience. Omniscience, which is a function of mind, includes knowing, intelligence, and wisdom. The creative ability of mind is what enables it to make, to create, to produce. Freedom is a function of soul. Soul is spiritual sense. It's spiritual because spirit is the only substance, and therefore the substance of all of the senses of soul are spiritual. The reason one can be free if they really know what truth is all about is that the soul senses are looking through the lens of spirit. So one is not wrapped up in what the suggestions are from a so-called mortal mind or beliefs in matter, because the soul senses focus strictly on the spiritual viewpoint. That's the real viewpoint. It's the view of reality. What is being shown here are some examples of the network that consists of all the qualities of God. They work together. They are coordinate. They're in alignment with each other. And love is a wonderful thing because love is the plan and design of everything, and it is also the oil, and one of the functions of oil is lubrication. Mary Baker Eddy states oil in the glossary, chapter 17 of Science and Health, as consecration, charity, gentleness, prayer, heavenly inspiration. So there we have the gentleness. The gentleness is the coordination, the smoothness, and that's the lubricant, the lubricating function of oil. That word comes from the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. And of course, the common thought about oil is that it is a lubricant. And a lubricant converts chaos, friction, into smoothness and order, balance. Balance is actually a function of principle. System and structure are also functions of principle. So when you think about the plan and design of love working with the system and structure of principle, and oil of love being the lubricant, everything has to be smooth, in balance, without friction, expressing gentleness. Another term for truth is affirmation. Another one is awakens. So if one is having a difficulty, if one examines the facts, truth affirms the solution. For if one is not working with the facts, but with a mistake or an error, then it cannot be confirmed, cannot be affirmed. Another term for truth is destroys. What does it destroy? It destroys its opposite, which is an error, a mistake, something that is deviating from truth. Truth will smooth out a rock in a stream. Hardest surfaces can be smoothed out with truth. Truth heals. Truth is a cure. What is the medicine? The medicine is mind. Because the medicine applies the cure, applies the truth. It is the catalyst for the truth being manifested. If one is aware of something, that means they are conscious of it. Consciousness is a primary function of truth. Motive, again, must be truthful and honest, or we're in big trouble. It's a mistake. The motive must be wholesome, must be pure, substance of spirit. The motive must be to benefit everyone that's involved. Truth is a leaven. Again, it is an adjustment that brings everything into alignment. And without truth, there cannot be any positive result. That is one of the, if not the, major problem with humanity, is that much of what humanity believes is based upon the opposite of truth. It's based upon a compounding of lie upon lie. It's like much of the news that comes from the media. There are unscrupulous actions at work that actually create a fabrication. They inform the news media of it, and then they use the news as their source to say that it is true. If one is conscious of truth, they won't be tricked. They won't be deceived by the lie. So one has to be alert. One has to be conscious. One has to be ready to analyze properly so that they know what they are believing. They need to know the truth, and the truth will make them free. The truth means it has to be analyzed by spiritual sense to make sure that it's true. we have to abide with the truth. Abide, another word of truth. The Christ is a term used with truth, because truth is consciousness and Christ is consciousness. So it is the Christ consciousness that one must let be their consciousness, not an egotistical so-called human consciousness, but the purity of the Christ consciousness, the God consciousness. Dominion is another term for truth. And of course, that's what "ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free" is all about. We will have dominion over our own circumstance, our own experience, our own life, our own body. And keep in mind that body is not a physical thing that you think you see when you look in a mirror. Body is your consciousness and everything about it. Your business, your personal life, your family, your children, any relationship, any business, any affair at all that is a part of your domain, your experience. That is your body, not something that is physical that you look at or touch or have feeling with or whatever. That is only a part of your body if it is a spiritual sense you are using in order to do the seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Because those are all spiritual senses. Nothing can interfere with one's experience if they are focused on the Christ consciousness and have that be the dominating factor in their experience. Grace. That is a term used with truth. Consider various kinds of sports, whether it be a solo, like an acrobat, or whether it be a team sport. If there is not coordination and smoothness, then the result is probably going to be unsuccessful. So we must have grace in every activity we're involved in. That will bring about the results of truth. If there's a big problem with something, chances are the resistance is a result of something being incorrect in what or the way we're doing it. The term remedy is a function of truth. And I already mentioned the word cure. And of course, cure and remedy are basically the same thing. And a word that is closely related is triumph. Trust is another one. We can trust the truth. It is reliable and invariable. It doesn't change. It's solid. As a matter of fact, the word rock is a term representative of the synonymous term truth. Whole, W-H-O-L-E, is a term for truth. In other words, it is complete It is not missing something. Truth cannot be mixed with error. It has to be pure, the purity of spirit. Otherwise, it's not true. It's not truth. Think of a wall in construction, and it's intended for the wall to be perpendicular to the surface, 90 degrees. If it is off, the result will not be accurate. It won't be true. Not only that, it could be dangerous. Think about a tall wall where the angle of the wall is less than or more than, even in a minute amount. If you're talking about a long wall, a tall skyscraper building, there can't be any variance. It has to be 90 degrees exactly. And you can bet that they measure that all the way up to the top to make sure that angle is correct. Frederick Rawson, an advanced Christian Science practitioner, teacher, he said that we should work toward doing everything in divine metaphysics as opposed to through human effort. He said every human activity should be able to be experienced through mental means instead of physical. And he proved what he was talking about. He gave some examples in his own life. One of the many wonderful things that he did was to write a book. I call it an encyclopedia. A friend of mine calls it the A to Z book. And it is an encyclopedia that lists 1,315 problems, ailments, illnesses, everything. And what he says is one way to approach healing is to start by flat out denying that it is real, by just saying there is no. If someone is in an accident, for example, and breaks their arm, one could say there is no broken arm, and then explain the reason why. In other words, you could use a truth to explain the reason why. Man is whole. Man has a solid foundation. Man is the Son of God. Being a son, man is the image and likeness of God. That means man cannot be anything that God is not. God certainly could not be imperfect. God could not have anything broken. God is whole. God is complete. God is spiritual. In fact, God is spirit itself. Therefore, man, as his image and likeness, is spiritual. Man is the manifestation of God. In fact, the term man is a term for truth. Mary Baker Eddy uses all these words that I'm referring to as being, when I say that they are terms for truth, I'm giving other terms for other qualities, other synonymous terms as well. But when I say it's for truth, it means, in fact, all of the ones that I'm giving, these are terms that Mary Baker Eddy uses with the qualities that I mentioned. Qualities being the primary qualities is what I'm referring to, the synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mr. Rawson brought about a healing. Of course, the real healing was done from truth and mind and all the other qualities that he was conscious of at the moment. But he and another Christian Scientist by the name of Baird Spaulding were viewing out a window, having some kind of discussion. And while they were doing this, and this was back early 1900s, probably 1910 or something like that, before trucks were in common use, and a man was pulling a cart full of rocks, or driving a cart full of rocks, with his animal. Didn't say what kind it was, whether it was a mule or an oxen or horse or whatever, but it was an animal that was pulling this cart of rocks. And the driver felt like something was wrong, that he needed to check the back end of the cart. And so he stopped and went around to look. And when he did, something alarmed the animal and it raised up. And it dumped the entire load of rocks on this man. When Mr. Rawson saw this event take place, he made the exclamation, the affirmation, the confirmation there is nothing but God. Five words. And he had such a conviction, such an understanding of that being truth, that the man jumped up through the pile of rocks, totally unharmed. Perfect condition. There's an example where he said we shouldn't have to do anything humanly. Nobody had to dig the man out of the rocks. Nobody had to administer to him, if he was even still alive, to try to patch him up. Mr. Rawson was in a shooting contest one time. He was a great sportsman, excelled in every sport. There's an extensive biography about him on our website. I think it's something like 15 or more pages long. He was by profession an electrical engineer, and he was known for solving electrical problems that no one else could solve. Companies would come to him from all over to solve a problem. Anyway, he was at this shooting contest, and he loved sports. He enjoyed them very much. But he had never shot this gun before. And he took the time that was required to look away from the material situation, because all he wanted to do was to be a symbol of the perfection of God. He didn't think about competing with other people. He just wanted to be a perfection. He wanted to be an example of perfection. He wanted to perform perfectly. So he had no experience with this particular kind of gun. And so he gave this silent, conscientious thought to God and the perfection of God and the harmony of God. There's details about this in his books. He has at least one book I know of where he talks about this. He was so attuned to God that when he felt totally at peace, he pulled the trigger. He was not even looking at the target. He was looking away from the target, as a matter of fact, he stated, because he wanted to get his thought totally off of what the material situation was and just get his alignment in with truth. The one mind, the mind of God, the consciousness of God. In fact, he was the one that came up with the idea of retroactive healing, where he overcame time and space. He performed hundreds of healings on a retroactive basis, whereby the healing took effect before he knew there was a problem or that the individual had made any contact with him requesting assistance. Retroactive healing. All of this is on the website under Rawson. R, just go to R in the alphabetical index for authors. Mary Baker Eddy said that she did not want anyone in her household. You know, she had a few people that lived in the home with her, and it was for the sole purpose of the furtherance of Christian Science. And she said she didn't want anyone in the home unless they understood electricity. And she, of course, stated that that is the most ethereal form of matter. In other words, it's the closest thing to spirit and still be matter. People might think, what does electricity have to do with Christian Science? Well, Mary Baker Eddy thought it had everything to do with it. Because we need to know how to handle electricity. The research work that Mr. Rawson did on electricity proved that when there was a healing, it changed the electrical portion of the body. He measured it. He was able to measure. I don't know anything about it, but you know, whether it was measuring the electrons or the protons or the neons or whatever, you know, whatever it is, but the electric elements of the body actually changed by short-circuiting the things that were friction, the things that were acting against each other, because that's basically what a problem is. There are things that are fighting each other. It's not harmonious. It's not smooth. There's no lubricant taking place that is coordinating everything. And healing shorts out the charges that are not in alignment with harmonious action. It's like putting a washer on a bolt and a nut. You can't have the nut, which is maybe a square or a hex or something, going up against something that is a different shape. So the washer enables, assuming it's a, I'm thinking of a flat washer, it enables the flat surface of the hex or the square to be against it smoothly. Of course, even taking a bolt nut apart a lot of times requires lubricant. The truth will make one free when one understands the elements. In fact, just understanding the elements of those three words, the truth shall make one free, shall make you free. Who is you? The truth shall make you free. What is you? There's one God. There's one you. One reflection. Think about the redwood sequoia trees. Under the surface of the ground, they are very shallow roots, but they all bond together. They're one network. We have to be a network with everyone. We have to be aware of it. We are, but we have to be aware of it. And do we want to hurt ourselves? Do unto others. The golden rule. It's all about doing to others what we want to have done to us. Well, think about everyone being connected. If we hurt someone else, who are we hurting? We're hurting everyone. And that includes the one you see when you look in a mirror. Think about everyone being a brother and a sister and whatever, daughter, son, niece, nephew. In other words, everyone is in a family and you don't want to hurt anyone in the family. Well, the family is everyone that exists. Forget about if you think someone else did something that was bad, really bad. Think about what Mary Baker Eddy said about humanity being built upon a compound lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. We have to look through that compounded web of nothingness, of lies, and we have to see the truth. If we see the truth, like Jesus did, Jesus saw the perfect man. It might have been a sinning mortal man to everyone else that was looking at the individual. Who knows what he could have done wrong? His disciples asked him when they saw somebody that was born blind. They said, who did sin, this man or his parents? Probably everyone listening to this knows the reply, which was, neither did this man sin nor his parents. And what Jesus was saying was that the whole reason that this man is here and in this situation, our purpose is to not try to figure out the cause, but what we're supposed to do about it. What we're supposed to do about it is see this man as the image and likeness of God. See the spiritual man. Don't think about what he may have done wrong. or whether his parents were evil or good or whatever. Think about the reason that we have this opportunity. We have the opportunity to see a perfect man. We have an opportunity to reverse the view that may be confronting us. And reverse is a function of soul, because we have to be utilizing the spiritual senses to see the truth. So it's an opportunity to reverse what the material senses are trying to say. We have to deny that the material senses are reality and affirm that the spiritual senses are the reality. So it's an opportunity for us, an opportunity to declare the truth about the man or woman or whoever it is, child, whatever, the situation, an event, a relationship, anything. An accident. We might be walking down the street or driving our car, and we observe an accident that we may not be in, but it is still our responsibility to reverse the senses of matter that appear to be real to us and affirm the truth. Affirm the reality. Like Mr. Rawson says, just flat out deny it, and then explain the reason why. We can't just flat out deny it and say, oh, well, there's no accident, and then go on about our business. That glib statement has no meaning, no power, and it is not Christian Science to deny something and then just forget it. We have to explain the reason why. Mary Baker Eddy states that healing requires both the letter and the spirit. Both. Absolutely both are required. Mary Baker Eddy states that she has reduced Christian Science to a system. On page 146, the paragraph title is Reduction to System. Starting at line 31, she states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, what is disease? Dis-ease. Discord. Any friction, any conflict, any problem. Death is a disease. It certainly isn't harmonious. Sin, disease. Everything is a disease. An inharmonious relationship of any kind about anything, an event that is not going smoothly. And we have to be careful how we think about smooth, because there was a church one time that sent her a letter. In fact, it was a reply to her letter. She asked how things were progressing. I believe that's how it happened. She said, how are things progressing with your church? And either they sent it without being solicited or it was a reply to her. And they said, it's going really smoothly. Things are coming along just fine. And what do you think her reply was? She said, "That's too bad. Because that means that you aren't seeing the challenges that need to be neutralized and reversed." She said, "They're all around. And that means you are not exposing what needs to be exposed. And you're not healing it." Infinite progress is concrete being. Infinite progress can only be taking place if we're digging up the beliefs of mortal mind and destroying them. As mentioned previously about explaining the reason why that they are false. Explain the reason why they have no power. But it has to be faced. If we are just passive and going along our merry way and reveling in goodness, human goodness, then that's a major mistake. Because not only does it put us in a passive state of consciousness where we are not aware of the problems, but not being aware and exposing them and destroying them, they accumulate, they compound without any interference from truth. The primary reason Mary Baker Eddy had people living in her home is so they could work as a team to destroy the errors that were trying to prevent the progress of Christian Science throughout the world. They handled everything. Weather. They had storms. Not to mention the mental interference. In fact, she asked what she thought was one of her loyal students. She said, "When I pass on, I can guarantee you it will be mental murder." And she said, "I want you to make this known among the Christian Science students." Well, unfortunately, the guy was a coward, and he didn't expose it until some, I think it was 30 or 35 years later. He finally got the courage to do it. Can you imagine? She entrusted him, and he didn't do it. He was a coward. We cannot depend on mortal mind. I don't care how good you think an individual is. Unless they're walking on water, they are struggling with mortal mind. We have to trust the truth and not person. Just like we have to condemn the error and not person. We have to condemn the evil, not person. We have to trust God, not person. Those are some thoughts on how one might utilize the terms that are associated with the synonymous term for God called truth. And remember that when Mary Baker Eddy capitalizes the word truth, it means God. It's the absolute truth. No variableness, no relativity, no relative statement about human. Truth with a little t, that is the relative truth. But with a capital T, and I don't mean at the beginning of a sentence because, you know, you have to make sure that it is that it would be a capital T if it were in the middle of the sentence or not the first word of the sentence. And you can tell that by the rest of the content around the word. Anyway, there have been some ideas that have been presented here that you may want to consider. And as mentioned before, the authors that have been mentioned are on the website. And we need to do one thing. Keep our consciousness the same as the God consciousness, or try to strive to have our consciousness be like the Christ consciousness. Filter as something confronts you, filter it. Mr. Winslow said, think about yourself being in a room with a radio, and this was back, 80 years ago, or 90 years ago, or more maybe. Anyway, it was before the internet, before television and so forth. And he said, imagine yourself being in a room with two things, a telephone. They did have telephones. Of course, that came around in the very early 1900s, or maybe even late 1800s. But anyway, he said, imagine you're in a room with a telephone and a radio. And the radio is tuned in to KOG, Kingdom of God. The only thing that it is announcing is the truth about God and God's image and likeness, man. The truth about reality. The truth about all existence that is reality. That's the only thing that it is speaking about. The only sounds that are coming out of that radio are the truth about God and man and all existence that is spiritual. And the other vehicle, and the other device is a phone that is ringing off the hook. It's ringing all the time. He said, think of that as being suggestions of mortal mind. He says, don't pick it up. We cannot let a salesman get his foot in the door. He refers to that as being the mortal mind trying to sell us on the idea that it is real. Pick me up. Give me a home. Give me a piece of your consciousness. Promote me. Think I'm real. Look at me. Don't I look beautiful? Evil is deceiving. It tries to mock truth. It tries to mock goodness. One of the terms for spirit is good. And of course, spirit is also flawless. So, it's perfect good. It's God goodness. We can't fall for it. Fear. The false appearing real. We can't fall for it. False evidence, fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. We can't fall for it. We have to stick to the unvarnished, the absolute, pure, flawless, absolute truth. We can't go for 2 + 3 = 4.999 ad infinitum, or 5.00001. We have to stick to 2 + 3 = 5. Can't be any variance. We have to stick to whatever God is as being real. And as his image and likeness, we are only real if we are viewing ourselves as the perfect image and likeness of God, the Son of God, child of God. That's us. ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen.